Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And welcome into another victory edition of Spits and Suds. Our third in a row. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan, joined by our NHL insider, Sean Shapiro. He's been so great to join us on these post games from EP Ringside. You got to subscribe to his Substack. It's called Shap Shots. You can follow him at Sean Shapiro. He's also a writer for D Magazine, and he's all over the place, and we love him for it. Sean, the theatrics were up in full force tonight. This one was a beaut, man. The barn was rocking. Just, I mean, you got your money's worth. You have to say that. You got your money's worth.
It was a very fun game overall. Yeah. And to me, it was interesting to kind of see a bit of a shift from the series too, right? Where a lot of games 1 through 4 were very crisp hockey. They were great hockey. It was really good, exciting hockey. It was crisp hockey, but tonight was a perfect example of how mistakes and chaos at the highest level can lead to a lot of fun. And that's kind of how I looked at this. Like, this was, there was a lot of, there, both teams made more mistakes tonight than they did prior in the series. Both teams were more undisciplined than they were prior in the series. And that led to advanced chaos, which it's fun. And you know what? It's, the Stars were still the better team in my mind tonight, and the better team won.
And so too.
And now the bottom line is, I feel like they've been the better team in 4 of the 5 games, and now that the better team has a 3-2 lead, and they have the chance to get it done and finish this thing out on Friday night.
Yeah, for those wondering, the NHL has not announced as we tape this the Game 6 time on Friday night. So I thought that was interesting.
Well, it's highly dependent on what happens. Like, let's do some reverse engineering math right now. Right. We've got, it's highly dependent on what happens with, actually, is it, hold on. I'm literally looking at this right now. Oh yeah. It depends on.
Well, they have Nashville and Vancouver set for 6 PM on Friday in Nashville.
For Stars fans, I'm going to tell you this. You really want to root for the Kings to win right now, because if the Kings lose, the Stars are going to that 9 p.m. are going straight into that that 9 p.m. Central slot.
Yeah.
Okay. If on TNT, if the Kings win. Tonight, if the Kings win tonight, Stars Oilers could potentially have a better start time, because they would potentially try to make it a staggered start game compared to the you might get a better start time. So from a Stars fan perspective, I'm not promising a good start time either way, but I know it will be a rougher start It'll be a 9 p.m. start. If Vegas, maybe you like 9 p.m. starts. I don't know. Maybe that works. But
I mean, it's a Friday night, so I'm okay.
Yeah. It will be if Edmonton wins tonight and closes out that series, that game's going on right now as we're recording. I believe Dallas Vegas will move into that slot on TNT as the second part of the doubleheader for Turner.
Right. All right. So let's carry on the tradition. Yep, there we go.
I got mine. Hold on. I brought mine up tonight, too. We're not...
Oh, tasty!
There we go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're getting into playoff mode here. We both have them. So,
yeah.
Frosties galore. And first of all, let me say, kudos. It was an early start. So, you know, therefore, a little tough for people to get to the barn. But at the same time, it did fill up. And when it filled up, it was really, really loud. Stars fans were into it. So... stick tap to you guys that went to the game. You guys deserve props, especially in the final minutes. That was absolute craziness. So let's start with the big decision by Bruce Cassidy today. And I wanted to get your thoughts as far as Logan Thompson taking the backup role for this game and Aiden Hill going in. And my guess was it's kind of a momentum thing. Bruce Cassidy said after the morning skate, Aiden Hill's been there before. I always said we were going to go with two goalies. So I wanted to get your thoughts.
I disliked it. It felt panicky to me. It felt like kind of trying to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic. Honestly, that's to me what it felt like. Cassidy said it was, oh, well, he's been here before. He's experienced. And I pushed back against that because, yes, Aiden Hill was in goal when Vegas won the Stanley Cup last year. But they used five goalies last year. All of them were equally as good.
Yeah.
And honestly, Aiden Hill just happened to be the one that got lucky that he was in the spot at the end when they won the cup. And so to be like, oh, he's experienced and everything like that. He's a cup winner and everything like that. I don't really buy that. To me, it felt panicky. And it felt, to me, it was a giant slap in the face to Logan Thompson too. And I know I've done some digging in the Vegas area before on how things work. And like, for whatever reason, Logan Thompson is not the favorite. For whatever reason, Cassidy and Vegas goalie coach Sean Burke aren't as big of fans as Logan Thompson as they are of Aiden Hill. That's just a reality. And one of the, like, they kind of begrudgingly made Thompson the starter for game one because Hill had struggled so much down the stretch. Like, Hill's last regular season game against the Ducks, he just looked putrid.
Last five games gave up 16 goals.
Yeah. So he's been bad. So to me, this was a slap in Thompson's face. I also go back to the fact where if you were going to alternate and change goalies, I honestly would have made them. I would have made the move in game one if I was Vegas. I would have kept Thompson in game one, right? Thompson played game one, but I would have gone to Aiden Hill in game two. That would have been my just, hey, we rotate goalies. That's normal in the NHL now, especially after Thompson let up the howler to Mason Marchman in game one, right? But after, I mean, this is a guy who 4 days ago, and because I was listening to after we did our show in game, after we did our show for our show after game, whichever one it was, I can't remember. We've done a lot of these. It's been fun. But I pulled up the post game show that Sinbin Vegas does. And I've drawn a blank on the guy's name and I feel really bad because he had me a guest on his pre-show as a guest on his show before the series, but he was talking about Logan Thompson, and this is a guy who covers Vegas, and he's covered Vegas since day one, and he considered Thompson's game in game three the finest game in Vegas Golden Knights franchise history by a goalie.
Yeah.
This is so like using that, where you go from a guy who just 4 days ago played the best game in franchise history to being the backup, to me it just felt panicky. It felt overly. I don't think it's the reason they lost the game tonight, because I don't think Hill was that bad. I thought Hill looked very scrambly. He looked very, you could have called him, and I wrote this up in my 2020 for the post game, like you could have said he looked rusty, but really that's what Aiden Hill looked like. It's not rust. Aiden Hill looked like that the last 2 months of the season. He just looked lost and kind of all over the place. So It's one of those moves where I think Bruce Cassidy has bigger fish to fry with where his team is right now. But I didn't personally like that one for.
Yeah, I think if you could even go top four, if you said, like, who are the best four Vegas players in this series? Definitely top five. I mean, I think you would put Logan Thompson as one of them. So I thought that was kind of, I agree with you, Sean. I felt the move was fascinating. I didn't like the timing of it, you know, throwing a guy in a crucial pivotal game. Yeah. You know, our producer, Gregory Finley, said that ESPN put up the stat that the winner of game five goes on to win the series 79% of the time. And you do have, you know, as Pete DeBoer mentioned this morning, you have two out of three that are at home. And you took care of the first one, and now you have game seven, which they didn't have against Vegas last year at home. So those are all good things. I do think they started off with good legs tonight. And, you know, it was kind of an unfortunate first penalty by Miro Heiskanen along the boards. And, you know, I will say early in the game, and it wasn't the case late in the game, Sean, but Vegas to me was winning some real key faceoffs for puck possession. And that was one, that set play where Mark Stone goes behind the net and then moves to the front and you know, the high tip. That's just a really, really well thought out, impressive play for the first goal.
I mean, it's very similar to the Stone goal from game one of the series too, right?
Yeah.
It's honestly the only way Stone has had any true impact on this series. Like, he's not been good at even strength. They've really struggled.
He looks old.
Yeah.
In this series.
I mean, that's kind of what the power play tonight to me is kind of one of those weird things where it's, like, you kind of take that goal. I don't really – it's a good set play. If I want to be super critical, I point out that that's probably a set play you should be a little bit more prepared for from a Dallas perspective. You've seen it so many times now. But I also – I still continue to be pretty happy with how Dallas's overall structure is in this series, because the fact of the matter is, for Vegas to score, and we've talked about this a couple times, it either takes – something at from a special team situation, or, and we'll touch slightly on this second, but like the other goal Vegas scored tonight, that's not a good goal. Like, that's a bad goal by Carrier. Yeah. So it's, I think it's, you take that and you move on. Get me on track. Go ahead. Get me on track.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I want to say for those that don't know, before he came to the Stars, Evgeny Dodonov, prior to Montreal, was with Vegas, and there was an interesting situation where there was a supposed trade of Dodonov, and then it didn't happen. It was just an uncomfortable situation for the player. So it's interesting that he has actually come back into the lineup and come up pretty big for the Stars team, getting the first goal of the game.
Evgeny Dodonov cost the Senators a first round draft pick for that.
Yes, they did.
To give people a quick brush up on it. So
these nuggets are important for Spits and Suds.
Yes, this is what
I love about the show.
So Vegas traded Dodonov. Sorry, Ottawa traded Dodonov to Vegas in July of 2021. In March of 2022, Vegas attempted to trade Dodonov to the Anaheim Ducks. The trade call happened. Both teams agreed. Oh, wait. He has a 10-team no trade list. The Ducks are on the no trade list. Ottawa, and this kind of gives you an idea of how the Ottawa Senators organization is run. Ottawa never sent or told Vegas that Dodonov had a 10-team no trade list. So,
even though it's on capfriendly.com.
Yes. Yes, so the Ottawa Senators lost a first-round pick.
Yeah,
because Vegas tried to trade him away to a team that was not on his no-trade list.
So I will say this, Sean. You know, one of the things that I've admired about this Stars team, and to me, when Vegas gets in a rhythm, especially if they're up or they have any kind of momentum, they're really good in those situations. So I look at the hit to set the tone by McNabb the other night and Jamie Benn responding before the crowd can even get into it. So the timeliness of that and the timeliness of the Dadonov goal, only 1 minute, 2 seconds after the Mark Stone goal, to kind of not allow Vegas to be in the lead for long. And then the Stars go on a power play. I personally thought it was an iffy power play. I thought it was more stick contact than leg contact as far as the trip. But Matt Duchene, good to see him get on the board with a power play goal, and the Stars go up 2-1.
I really liked, we just called this the Wyatt Johnston podcast now, but like, I really like Wyatt Johnston's work on that play. His work in the bumper has gotten so, it was always good, but like his work in the bumper spot on the power play, the slot for the quick, if you're joining us as a hockey fan on the playoffs, thank you for listening and joining us real quick. When I say the word bumper, I'm talking about the guy basically in the middle of the power play formation, the guy in the slot between the faceoff circles, effectively kind of responsible for kind of making everything kind of go as kind of a connector point. And I think Johnston has gotten so much better at that. And I'm not saying, it's not that he was bad at it before. I just think it's an opportunity thing. Like, he's kind of moved into that spot and taken it further. And it's really good to see Duchene get one. It's really good to see him kind of take that step. Cause we've talked before about, we need to see Pavelski. We need to see Duchene. We need to see Sagan. You need to see one of those guys put a puck in the net. Right. And so that's a huge step for the Stars. And it's kind of fitting that it's the 20-year-old kid who's driving the bus on everything is the guy who's unlocking other guys' games right now. And that's not the normal, ecosystem of an NHL team. You don't normally use the 20-year-old to unlock the veteran, but that's how this team works.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. All right. So it was 2-2 because you've already talked about the bad goal, the wraparound by Carrier. Yeah. And then we go to the second period, and this is when things kind of got interesting. 7:55, Tyler Sagan checked to the head against Shea Theodore. Head contact was made. I don't think it was a lot of head contact, Sean. Yeah. I think that it was kind of how Theodore Moore was positioned. That said, I mean, it is what it is. It's a 2-minute penalty, and it was good to see because the Stars had been struggling killing some penalties, but that one didn't come back to bite them.
Yeah, like it's a weird one too, because it's like I don't like how that one was called, because to me it's much easier when you slow the game down. It's much easier and everything like that. The head contact, quote unquote head contact, is to the visor. There's not like true head contact in my mind on that play. And so the fact it was, I didn't like that it was called in the first place. I'll put it that way. Like I once they made the call and said it's a major and you have to call it a major so you can review it to technically make it a minor. So once they got to that, I think they made the right call by adjusting it to be a minor, but I didn't like that the call was made that way in the first place. It's easy to criticize officiating. I'm not a big criticize officiating guy.
Yeah.
But this is, to me, this was one of those where I would have liked to not see that call made, because to me that there's not really the actual head contact on that play. So,
right. Right. I do want to rewind 9:27 of the first. We were talking about this. Joe Pavelski called for goaltender interference against Aiden Hill, and clearly
that was an awful call. Yeah.
Martinez certainly leaned into him and pushed Pavelski. Yeah. Contact was made by the Vegas player into the goalie. You know, if that was in the crease, then it wouldn't be goaltender interference. I don't know how they saw it that way. You're allowed that space if you're Joe Pavelski. And Joe Pavelski, it's not like he was leaning in toward Aiden Hill.
Yeah, that was a bad call. And I think it was kind of the most fitting thing about it is you had Pavelski was almost certain he was about to get a call. He thought they were about to call something to give Dallas. Like that kind of shows how quickly it flipped, right? So I thought the officiating was not good tonight. Like, I know, I want to be clear, it wasn't good on either side. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, I don't think the officiating helped one team more than the other tonight. And that's actually a credit to Dallas, because we talked about in games 3 and 4, we talked about the only way Vegas was getting anything done was with the power play or even the shorthanded goal, right? So full credit to Dallas by not letting that become more of a storyline. You let it die with the anger in the stands at the fans, at the ref, aimed at the refs, and nothing more than that. So credit to the Stars on that.
Yeah. Because here was another call against Vegas that I thought probably the whistle, you know, could have been held up. 11:05, stone interference against Wyatt Johnston. I don't know what you thought, Sean. I thought that was two guys. To me, it was iffy.
You could have not called that one.
But then we jumped to 15:19 of the second period, and this is where things got interesting, where Tyler Seguin is going down the ice with Pietrangelo, go up against the boards. Pietrangelo kind of does a spinning back fist, hits Tyler Seguin, blood is caused. Now, this is the great thing, just like Sean explained as far as Wyatt Johnston's positioning on the power play. I understand why Stars fans can't believe why it's not a 5-minute major, but Sean is going to tell you why it shouldn't be a 5-minute major per the rules of the NHL.
Yeah. So here's the thing, blood getting, let's go through this a couple of different ways. They originally called it an elbow, and they were like, okay, they called elbowing a 5-minute major for elbowing. It was not an elbow. Let's be clear on that, right? Like, it wasn't an elbow. That's not accurate. It was a backhanded slap to the face is what it was. And that is so it's not an elbow. It doesn't matter the only play where it matters if blood is drawn is a high stick. So if there's so you can be like, oh, well, there's blood. It should have been 4 minutes. There's no rule in the rule book that says you can't cut a guy with an elbow. You can't cut a guy with a rough. Like, the only rule where blood matters is a high stick, which, side note, I think it's absolutely a ridiculous rule just because, like,
yeah.
I mean, I've literally seen guys pull a scab off to draw blood before to get an extra 2 minutes, right? Like, it's a ridiculous rule in my view. So there's no way it could be 4 minutes because it's not a high stick, and it's a rough. It's a rough. It's essentially a face wash, a more aggressive face wash that sometimes you see after a play when guys are getting it and everything like that. And so it was the right one. They made the right call. The fact they called it an elbow was like, you talk about the officials.
That was weird.
Like, the fact they called it an elbow was like,
Roughing's the right call, right?
It should have been a rough, right? It should have been a rough, but like, an elbow is pretty obvious. Like, people can't see, this is an audio medium, but like, I'm pointing to my elbow. Like, there's a long space that Pietrangelo's arm has to go. I thought it was a really, on a perspective from Vegas right now on their flight back tonight, I'm sure this is a, what the heck were they thinking moment for Bruce Cassidy, is what is Pietrangelo doing there? I mean, Pietrangelo is a 2-time Stanley Cup champion, captained the Blues when they won in 2019. That's dumb. Like, just what his play there against Sagan, like, that is a dumb penalty by a veteran player that effectively cost his team the game. Like, that is one where, like, if you're Vegas right now, you're sitting on that plane thinking, how does that guy lose his head in that moment? This is when you talk all about veteran savvy and experience and everything like that. That's literally the reason you brought that guy in.
Right.
So.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, the severity is certainly different, but it's similar to Jamie Benn last year, where that effectively, that Dallas was out of the game after that penalty. And kudos to the Stars. And their retribution was scoring. Jason Robertson collecting his own block shot rebound and putting it in. And very quietly, there have been great storylines. Wyatt Johnson obviously propelled to the top. Logan Stankoven. Sean, Luds named him the pinball the other day because he just bounces off of bumpers left and right. So that was his new nickname for Stankoven. He was terrific. But Jason Robertson, number one star of the game tonight with a another goal, and just has really played well in this series. And I don't want to say it's overlooked, but at the same time, you know, it's not like he's being completely highlighted, but it's good to see after some previous playoff situations that, you know, Jason Robertson's coming through for this team. I thought Pete DeBoer did a really nice job after the skate this morning in the press conference, was asked about Roope Hintz and Joe Pavelski and went back to last year and said, well, remember Jason Robertson struggled and he didn't get going for a while. So it's playoff hockey, and look at their team. They have a couple of their big players that aren't doing much either. So, you know, the bottom line is we got to pick up a win. So I thought that was a very good answer to kind of calm everyone down, or try to attempt to, that in the playoffs, you know, any player on the ice can make an impact and players can go through slumps.
Well, Pete's a lawyer with a law degree, so he knows there are times you have to remember that Pete knows the way to make sure that he's not saying anything too incriminating and keeping everything on the up and up, right? So you know that. Yeah. But yeah, it's at the same time, I'm looking at this series and you look across and there are guys from Vegas that are just non-factors. I mean, like, let's look at Thomas Hertl, right? Hertl is a guy who Ottinger made a nice save on him in the first period with the left pad. And he had a tip in game one, but that's a big time acquisition, big time player that's been a ghost out there. And Stone, we talked about him being a bit of a ghost, right? Like, the key to playoff hockey and the key to winning the whole thing is you're never going to get everybody going right away. And everyone knows that. Like, a bunch of teams have advanced already and they know, like, the Rangers don't have everyone going, but the key is you have enough guys going so the other guys have time to get going. That is the key to playoff hockey. And the Stars have the luxury of they just have to win one more now, and their guys keep going. Yeah. Vegas now has do or die, and they got to figure that out on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. So I told Sean, unlike the other night, we'd be getting him out of here, Bob, much prior to 2 a.m., but then I put out the tweet for questions, opinions, and wow. I mean, listen, I just got to say this, and kudos to Gregory Finley. We don't give a stick tap to our producer enough. He is terrific. He is the one late night producing these things and putting them out for you. So big time stick tap to Greg. But big time stick tap to you guys as well. April was a record month for Spits and Suds, and you know, it's the number one hockey podcast for Odyssey as far as like local origination. So, you know, beating Original Six podcast. So just a massive thanks to all your feedback. And it shows when, you know, you guys send in your comments, like how way Luds was 3 inches from being right on the score prediction. He did predict 4-2. And man, when that puck was rolling at the end, Sean, that was a lot of fun.
It was the empty net two at the end when they didn't finish two. I made this note in my story right after the game, is I'm sure there are some older Stars fans who saw the ghost of Patrick Stefan too for a moment too, because when they didn't finish there. So
is that Edmonton?
That was against Edmonton, yeah.
So. Yes.
Our old friend Alish Hemsky scored the goal at the other end on that one,
oh
too.
Oh my god. So. Yeah. I totally remember that. Oh my god. All right, before we get into these two, we also have to talk about Jake Oettinger. You're right. I think Jake Oettinger wants one of those goals back for sure, but fourth straight game of just giving up and allowing two goals. That's really impressive. The save at the end was terrific. I'm sure that you know, would have liked to lift it past, but at the same time, you know, Oettinger with that reach got every bit of it. I mean, It's calm, cool, collective. And I think we hyper, you know, every time Ottinger lets in a goal, Twitter goes crazy. Like, come on, Ottinger. But I mean, the consistency is certainly there.
Yeah. And I thought tonight was a good example of Ottinger has different tools in the bag on things. I thought he was tonight wasn't his calmest and coolest game. I thought the rebound control was a little bit spotty. I thought the footwork wasn't what it normally was. And I told this story. I always with Jake Ottinger, one of the things that I remember about him, and I've talked to Jake about, is he's such a student of the game. And when we all remember that year where the Stars overloaded on veteran goalies, and they've had in training camp, they had Braden Holtby, Ben Bishop, who never played another NHL game, Anton Hudobin, and Jake Ottinger. And one of the things Ottinger took from that experience was around those veteran goalies, around those guys, he took a lot of elements from each of them. And one of the things he took from Hudobin was there's that battle mentality where you might not have your A game. Technically, you might not be there that night, but you find another way to get it done, because goaltending doesn't have to be pretty to work. Prettier goaltending works more often than chaotic goaltending, but chaotic goaltending can still work. And so tonight, Ottinger had to be more chaotic. I thought there was a couple times there was pucks that hit the glove that didn't stay in the palm. There's a couple of rebounds that he didn't really have the best read on. But all that being said, he did the job. And when you needed that big save on Stevenson with 2:30 or whatever it was left, he made that stop. And that's what number one goalies do. He did what he had to do. And that's credit there on that one, because it was a big one.
Yeah. Zach Mitchell says, I don't normally jump on poor officiating bandwagon, but did they just reduce the penalty on Sagan to decapitation simply to keep things even after walking back the penalty against Sagan earlier in the game? You could tell the Stars played angry in that power play. I mean, good for the Stars. Sean explained the penalty, why it was just 2 minutes. So that is why. But, you know, Zach, to your credit, I mean, Sean and myself, I'm not a big guy to talk about officiating, as it rarely, you know, proves the outcome of the game, so to speak. But in this case, I think we all agree that the officiating was a bit on the rough side tonight. Let's see. Rod Norton leaning a bit too heavy on Jake, but he's a big and handled it. He still wants more shots, but a win is a step closer. Absolutely. Teresa. So, Sean, I put this out earlier. Let's give a stick tap to Carrie Hall, who's a Spits and Suds listener. So, Carrie tweets out, it's game day, Dallas Stars. I'll stay home this time since we lost the last game I went to. I'm a bit superstitious, so let's keep our fingers crossed it works. We have our 1999 Stanley Cup mug sitting out, though, and it has brought good luck the last two games. So, I responded, Carrie doesn't mess around in the playoffs, staying home. Stick tap. I've spent, and this is true, Sean, I've spent much of my life standing in one spot, mostly the kitchen. And when one of my teams starts playing well, I stay in the damn kitchen. Anyone else superstitious like Carrie and myself? And it opened up a whole thread. And I ask you, goaltender Sean Shapiro, are you superstitious?
Not superstitious, but I have a couple quirks. I'll call it that. There are, when I'm playing hockey, I mentally reset after every whistle. So after every single whistle, I take a lap to the right corner of the ice. So like just from the crease to the corner, and tap the boards once. And that's just my mental reset. After every goal, either in my net, a goal against, or a goal on the other end of the ice, I do that same lap, and then I do each post three times, three and six. And in my mind, it's a very silly kind of thing where my favorite number is 36. That's the number for whatever reason. And so the each post three times, in theory it's three, and then it combines to six. So whatever. So I would just call it stitious, not superstitious. Okay. I'm just a bit quirky at times. I I have done the one of my passions in life is I'm a huge Tottenham Hotspur fan.
And oh, so nice.
I've had the I have a rotation of about three. I have three different Tottenham jerseys that I have three different Tottenham jerseys that I typically, if I wear the one, like the one I wore this past Sunday when they unfortunately lost, that will get at least a week off. So that is, I kind of keep that, that kind of pops into mind. So that, that happens for me from a fandom perspective too in my life.
Okay. All right. Well, Teresa, as I mentioned, did respond to that. She says it stems from baseball. We'll stay in the same place where everything is going well until it doesn't. Once kicked a woman out of my chair at a baseball game because our high school team was losing. We won that game and many after since I had my chair. So if you see Teresa at a baseball game, do not take her chair. Mm-hmm. Dylan Moreland, he said, really feels like not scoring on the, let's see. The overpassing on the empty net didn't make my cardiologist happy is basically what he's saying. He thought there was some overpassing tonight at times. Fuzzy was at the game. Hey, Fuzz. He says it was so loud I couldn't think. Mare Bear. Tanif has everything I love. Great composure. Princely hair. Insightful playmaking skills. Patient leadership and a beautiful smile. What are the odds he finishes his career in Dallas? Please, God. Listen, this is a June conversation, Mare Bear, and hopefully you're still listening to the podcast, but I'm just going to say, please, Jim Nill, I really would like this signing, Sean.
It would be, it is definitely a, he fits so well for the team. But as I've said about other things, this is a June conversation.
yep, absolutely. James Vassallo, do you think not having the glass banger smashing the glass all game tonight makes a difference on Stars' concentration and success on the boards behind the net? That would be one Nick Maroc, and I say no because Nick listens to the podcast, folks.
He hasn't banged the glass in like 7 or 8 years, right?
No.
Like it's been a long time, right? Like, doesn't it go back to... I think it goes all the way back to at some point it was the TV, the Stars TV broadcast, if I remember correctly, basically said like it was messing with the crowd mics and everything, I think is what it was.
No, so, it does. And if you watch an away game, a lot of times you'll see Nick in the crowd. You know, he was in Vegas last year or the Western Conference Finals, and you know, he would tweet me and say, I gotta do it, Gavin, I gotta do it. And so I mean, listen, we all need Nick Maroc in our arena. I know people might get frustrated, not this guy, just because I love fandom. And the fact that people are getting so into this and like, that's what you want out of your fan base. You don't want people sitting down. So let's see. Blickens want to see our captain sitting on Petrangelo in game 6. That was from when he played in St. Louis. We actually don't want to see that. Maybe next year. But, you know, composure. Let's see. Bunch Mocks. Any chance they rotate Pavelski out, Sean, if Marchman is ready next game? Pavs has looked absolutely terrible every game in this series.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
I agree.
Nope.
Yep. JT Manazzi. What a game by Tanif. Give that man an extension. Amen. Cameron, what a game. Still wish the Stars had put in a few of their big chances in the third, but they won. Huge save by Jake at the end. I agree. Sean, I will say they were much more aggressive in the third period. They didn't really go into that shell like they did in the previous game.
Yeah, it was less of a shell. And I mean, this is a game where if Dadonov finishes two chance, like Dadonov should have had a hat trick tonight. Like he should have, like before the Sagan hit on Theodore, he had the breakaway where he just kind of lost the puck, and the 2-on-0 with Stanko, and like he's got to bury that, right? So this is to me a game that I think they found certain elements of that crunch down that was necessary in the third, but it wasn't a full Rick Bonus-esque bunkering. So
I agree. Millsy, another balanced win. The Stars' ability to rotate all four lines. That's a great point, especially in the third period. They were rolling out those lines without having to play extended shifts is their advantage. The kids are playing well. They're the spark plugs. Credit Jake for a good night. Best way to make Petrangelo pay was Robo. Team win for sure. Wow, Millsy. Man, maybe you should co-host the show. Don't try to take my job, Millsy. That's a damn good tweet. All right. Let's see another one. What a game by Tanev. Give that man an extension. Let's see. Otis thinks that Pavelski's a liability. Thakman seems like after the first period, the defense really settled down and played really well. Not nearly as many odd man rushes tonight. That's a great point by Thakman. The Stars certainly, cut that down to a minimum tonight, Sean.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was, Jack Eichel was not the force he was for the first four games of this series. And I want to point out to something. I pulled the clip to throw my story on this tonight. We make a lot of the Stankoven pass to set up Dadonov on that goal. But if you go back about 4 to 5 seconds before they enter the zone, Miro Heiskanen makes a tremendous play at the defensive blue line to strip the puck from Mark Stone. Knock it down and quick hitter pass up the left wall to Wyatt Johnston. Those are the little details that win you games this time of year. And it's hard to think, like, obviously there's the Stevenson breakaway at the end. Like that's the one that's freshest in mind, but it's hard to go through. Like when you stop and you kind of replay a bit of the game in your head, like I sometimes do, it's hard to find many, it's hard to go and find, hey, this rush chance happened here or there or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's a great point, Sean. One of the things, Stars fans, is TV doesn't have the time to bring you the full developing play because, you know, they're about to go back to center ice to drop the puck and you don't want to miss that. So what I would encourage you to do, because you can catch up during commercial breaks, is just rewind for 30 seconds and see where the play develops. And I would say more often than not, a person that doesn't show up in the assist category, let's just say, or on the scoring sheet, made a heck of a play defensively or in the neutral zone or an outlet pass to kind of cause that breakout, or something happened for them to be allowed to score the goal. And so, you know, just a little tip. That's what I love doing. Every time they score, either team, I just rewind and say, okay, where was a turnover happening? Where was a mistake made? It's a lot of fun because you can really get a great perspective of the game within the game.
I typically watch the game. I'm typically probably about 5 minutes behind of like real lifetime. That's the typical where, it's great because I effectively rarely watch the game with commercials because I just fast forward when it gets to commercials and catch up a little bit then, but there's a lot of little things where they'll hit pause, pull this, do that or whatever. And it's, the only way watching the game like that doesn't work, is if you're just stay off Twitter, right? Just stay off Twitter. So you don't spoil it for yourself. Enjoy the game in real time on your television. And that's the key to that, that approach.
So. That's true. Or text messages from your producer, Greg Finley, that says, wow, what a goal.
Yeah.
All right. Christopher DeHarty, special teams can be what wins or loses your games. And in tonight's case, could be what helps propel the Stars to a series win. Finally, good to see a home team win, but the Stars have to finish this on the road. Yeah, I mean, listen, power play goals are certainly key. I was worried about the kill because, was it at one point, it was like they were, you know, Vegas was 3 for 7 on the power play, something like that.
Yeah.
But you're right. Special teams came up big, specifically when Petrangelo was in the box. Big Spits and Suds listener, KLM Knopp. Always see your activity. Thank you so much. Ken Jr. _67. Everyone is talking about Johnston, but would you agree that Robertson is the quiet star of the season with both offense, but also defense? Yes, I would agree. Yeah. And I think Sean does as well.
Yeah, one of the things I want to amend one of my past descriptions of Jason Robertson. I was thinking about this kind of while we were coming onto the show to talk about something. In the past, I have compared Jason Robertson to Brett Hull. I've compared him to Brett Hull in the fact where he could do nothing for a game, and he has a very – Jason Robertson doesn't look busy. He doesn't look like – if you watch him skate, he almost looks bored at times. And then he'll strike, and you'll be like, oh, damn, that's Jason Robertson. Like, and that's what Brett Hull was. Brett Hull would do nothing for – would just be there floating around and score a big goal and everything like that. And so in the past, I've compared it. Like, Jason Robertson was very Brett Hull-like to me. Mm-hmm. Jason Robertson is a much better defensive player than Brett Hull ever was. And so it's to go, and I kind of want to amend that description, because Jason Robertson is a much better defensive player. He does a really good job positioning and angling things in a way that, like, go back to game one, right? We talk about the Logan Stankoven turnover, where Logan Stankoven steals the puck from Mark Stone and sets up the goal for who was that? That Stankoven set up for Robertson. Yeah, it was the the play all starts because of Robertson's angling in at the offensive blue line. Robertson is a very smart hockey player. One of the things I love about Jason Robertson is he's a perfect example of how you use tools that we now have to better build your game. I may have told this story in the pod before. Either way, it's always interesting. Jason Robertson, you see the players with the iPads, right? Jason Robertson watches every shift right away.
Yep.
He's someone who shift happens, he's watching stuff right away. He wants to see his last shift. So much of it is just the information dump and assessment. So you take that in and adjust your game and address your game. I love the way Jason Robertson is effectively, like, it's funny because it's fitting of his nickname and the little silly caricature that he once drew. Like, he is very robotic and data in, data out. Like, it's very,
yeah.
It's and when he's playing well, like I think there's a lot of data that went in from the struggling in the playoffs last year, and we're seeing the data out in a positive right now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. At Bad Hat Harry 55, how impressive is Stankoven so far? He's like an energizer hobbit out there. He's only 5 playoff games in and already looks like an engine that can drive a team. I will say this. I think Sean, because of his energy, because of his tenacity and never give up, even if he was struggling, I think it would be masked by the fact that he gives so much effort. He treats every shift like it's his last shift.
Wait, who was that? I lost
Logan time. Stankoven.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yes.
I'm just so impressed by his back checking, his never give up. Like, it's, yeah. Let's say. All right. So here's an interesting one that was asked to one Sean Shapiro tonight.
Oh, yeah.
So earlier today, Liam Bixel tweeted out that he was about to hop on a plane and he would be in action Thursday night.
Yep.
Texas against Milwaukee. So Chris Chambers tweets to you and myself, will Bixel be called up if he plays well for the Texas Stars and Yanni still isn't close to coming back? Josh Sanders replied, that copycat, that was my question. So two people wanted to know, Sean, the thoughts.
Liam Bixel is only even considered to play if you have... I'm doing the math in my head of how many injuries have to happen. Because you would have to have one of the current 6 get hurt that are playing, and really it's just 5, right? Because it's Nils Lundqvist is there, but whatever. You'd have to have Derek Pouliot get hurt. You'd probably have to have Alex Petrovic get hurt, and maybe even at that point you have to have Gavin Bayreuther get hurt. So
yeah.
That's what it would take for Liam Bixel to get into. Like, Liam Bixel is. I am very excited to see him play for Texas tomorrow night.
Me too.
It is something where he had a really good year in Sweden, and we've talked about it on the pod before about how circumstantially I don't like how he ended up there. I don't like how that all happened, but it ended up being he Stars probably got the best out of a bad situation with how he played. But Bixel isn't ready. Like, I mean, this and Vegas is going to, you're worried about, you think Pete DeBoer is worried about Nils Lundqvist being afraid of turnovers and everything like that. Like, Bixel is not ready for the NHL. That is, I think he maybe could be, for next season. He could be. We will see in training camp, and we could see how he plays. And I think there's a, I think there's time. Like, I really think he needs, like, I really hope that Liam Bixel is actually given, and this is a conversation for the summer, but I would really love to see Liam Bixel given about 7 to 8 games to start next season of just play and figure it out. I'm not giving him those games against Vegas in the playoffs. I'm not giving him against I'm not giving him those games if they win this series in the next round against Colorado, where Colorado is going to be just feasting potentially on any turnover that you give up. So if Bixel's playing, there's other larger issues at play with what the injury bug has happened. So
at Crow Wi-Fi says, with 10 minutes left in the third, you could tell the Stars are getting under Vegas's skin. Love it. Yeah, I actually thought it was kind of interesting. It was like we were playing Vegas's style.
The Petrangelo penalty in the second period was a kind of just a clear indicator of what was happening, right? Yeah. That, and I think there's other things too. Like, I thought there's a couple times where you can see the frustrations getting to Stone. Like, you can see you can see that happening. It's the Stars also represent the only team that they're the only team that's really ever been the kind of quote unquote boogeyman for them, right? Like, Vegas has come into the league and they've, like, I want to give Josh Bogorod credit for putting this tweet out there before it came on, but this is the first time Vegas has lost 3 playoff games in a row. Wow. Since they lost 3 games to the Dallas Stars in the 2019 in the bubble in 2020.
Mm.
The Stars are the team that is yes, Vegas beat them last year. Yes, Vegas beat them last year, but I think you're seeing some of the frustration. So,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. K-Twiz, you asked about, I just wanted to give you a shout out. You asked about the Sagan hit. We mentioned that earlier in the podcast. Jordan wanted to give you a shout out at Harper Hockey Fan. You're so awesome for all your support. Cause he responded, he's such a menace as F1. I love it, because Sean, I tweeted out, I think it's the camera angle on Logan Stankoven is really 6'4", 215. Because I mean, he was throwing checks and they, like, these were effective checks.
Yeah.
All right.
His
Kenny
leverage,
Howard.
Real quick. Stankoven's leverage point is incredible. It is just the way he uses his leverage is awesome. So continue.
Right. Kenny Howard wants to bug you again, Sean. He says, had Hanley cleared waivers earlier in the year when they needed a forward, would he have had to clear again at trade deadline to make room for Tanev?
It depends on the time and the day. Essentially, once you clear waivers, you then have 30 days. And I can't remember whether it's 9 or 10. I'll have to look it up, and I'm sorry. But it's either 30 days on the NHL roster or 9 or 10 games played. So it would have depended on the timing of it. So, like, in theory, with Hanley potentially being waived earlier and everything like that, it's all – I can't reverse engineer it properly to give you the proper answer, but basically those are the circumstances where you get, once you clear waivers, you are waiver exempt for 30 days on the NHL roster is kind of the rough, is the simplest way to put it.
There's some more questions about Liam Bixel, but it is kind of interesting that no one's talking about Maverick Bork.
Well, I mean, the forwards are there. Like, I'm really, the thing that I'm really intrigued by, and I feel like would be a poor disservice to Texas if it happens, but I'm intrigued by if Bork is in Texas tomorrow for the game against Milwaukee, because I personally, I think for Bork's development and for the Stars' best interest, you want to see Maverick Bork get better and better and play in these big games. Like, I personally would hope Bork is playing against Milwaukee tomorrow, but right now we also know the Stars are having Derek Pouliot sit as a number 7 defenseman.
Yeah.
He would definitely be helping Texas right now. So, honestly, I think Bork Bork playing for Texas tomorrow would be a pretty good indication, I think, of at least some health, better health news maybe for Foxa and Marchment. Mm-hmm. But I think Stars, the best case scenario here is to probably, I would want Bork playing for Texas tomorrow, and then you could always have him, get him on a second flight to Vegas and recall him before the game Friday if you needed to or whatever. Just that's the way I would do it.
Robbie at Robvious was asking about Roope Hintz regarding, is he hurt or is Vegas just succeeding at slowing him down? He hasn't broken into the zone with his speed burst really at all this series.
I feel like Roope Hintz is always hurt, just to be honest. Like he plays Fair. Such a hard crashing style where I'm amazed sometimes that, like, you're going to love this comparison, Gavin, as a Bostonian, is one of the great questions about Bobby Orr was what could have been if the human body could take,
yeah,
could take what he did to himself, right? Like that is a fair question. Roope Hintz puts so much through on his body. Like I've always, and I've said this before on this podcast, like, to me, I don't think Roope Hintz will ever be an 82-game player in his career. I know he played 80 games this year. That's a lot. That's a lot for what he puts through his body. Mm-hmm. And I think there's always going to be a degree of wear and tear and fatigue and everything. But when he gets up and he goes, he's one of the most exciting humans on the earth with a pair of skates. So I'd like to see more from Hintz. But he's also that guy who I think maybe, and I don't want to put the cart before the horse on anything here, but you know what? Colorado is not going to be as effective at limiting him. So that's probably maybe a conversation we talk about if you advance.
Yeah. So. Yep, absolutely. Smeeks asked, the fourth line has been great. Dadonov, Duchesne, Sagan have been rolling. How do you incorporate Mush, Foxa once they're healthy enough to play? I think Sean pointed out, like,
let's see what happens. Let's see what happens, right? Like, I mean, like it's, I gotta see proof of health before I overly worry about making the right call on that. Like, the only obvious call the Stars have when it comes to health is Yanni Hakanpaa when cleared, whenever that happens, it's clearly in. So that's the only.
We all agree. And I will say this, Sean, too, small sample size, but I'm happy for Ty Dellandrea. And it kind of, to me, shows that he'd be a good option next year to have back in the lineup on a regular basis if you needed it based on cap situation. Okay, we just have a couple more, and thank you for all your questions. Let's see. You know what? Allison is a high school coach and a big Spits and Suds fan, and she did ask this question, Sean, so I think it is a fair question because we have talked about the referees tonight. She says, what is the cause of the increase of penalty calls in game 5? Is it more players pressing, knowing how important the game is, a different ref crew, or something else entirely? I did find that was a really interesting question.
I thought there's more dumbness tonight. Like I thought and generally it was a much dumber hockey game tonight and across the board. So that definitely comes into play. The other thing that happens too is, like it or not, and this is ironically enough, this is one of the things that got Tim Peel canned as an NHL referee, even though he's on his way to retirement anyway.
Yeah.
Refs like to even it up. So they like at the end of the day to make it look like things are even. So when Dallas takes an early penalty, like they do, next one is probably coming on Vegas. And it's like tonight, I mean, it was pretty similar to the, if there was going to be another penalty in the third period, the law of averages tells me it would have been on Dallas because the penalties tonight went Dallas, Vegas, Dallas, Vegas, Dallas, Vegas, Vegas. So basically, the Stars were effectively 0-1. And I put that in air quotes for people who can't, since Gavin's the only person in the world who can see me air quotes. But so Dallas was effectively owed a penalty in the third period to even this up. So that happens. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it is a reality of how these games are managed by the officials.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So one programming note before we let Sean go, we'll get the Vegas perspective tomorrow and actually a goaltending perspective. So it'll be interesting to hear her thoughts on Logan Thompson, Aiden Hill, former Ohio State netminder and St. Anselm's netminder, Lindsey Brown, who covers the Vegas Golden Knights, will join us tomorrow, and she'll give her thoughts. And I always like Lindsey's energy she brings, and she's been a longtime Spits and Suds supporter. So excited to have her on the program tomorrow. Sean, you are an absolute beast, my friend. This has been I think we got a while. We're going to have more games ahead of us, and this is already such a great ride. I have to go to the liquor store and get more beer.
I'm waiting to hear what the time is on Friday because,
okay.
So it's going to be, it could be a really fun, we could have a really fun conversation on Friday. So I am, tomorrow, Gavin, I'm getting into my car and I am driving to Toronto tomorrow. And nice. I'm playing in this Baycrest tournament. It's a, me and a couple of the guys who were also in the movie, The Late Game,
good plug.
A couple of us are playing in this charity tournament for Alzheimer's research in Toronto.
Oh, great.
And so we've got a game. We play three games, like one Friday, two Saturday. Our game at Friday is at 5 p.m. So I will be in Toronto on Friday. I will play a beer league game in this charity tournament on Friday afternoon, and then I'll get to watch Stars hockey from the Airbnb in Toronto. So it's going to be a good night. So hopefully it's not too late, but I hope it'll be a good night. So,
I mean, and think of the buzz in town because you got game six, Boston and Toronto on, is it Friday or Saturday? They're playing Friday
tomorrow night. No, tomorrow. Yeah, Thursday night, so Toronto, Boston tomorrow night. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, my friends, safe travels. Can't wait to hear how you played in net. And thank you for doing that charitable efforts to benefit such a great cause. And to all of us, thank you for jumping on as much as you do during this playoff run. Obviously, you can tell from the questions, you're quite the popular figure, and I appreciate it.
It is always fun, Gavin. It's great to break the games down this way. And you know what? I am going to get some sleep tonight. I might get a full 8 hours, maybe. Who knows? It's good. So,
absolutely. It's a lot of fun. And thank you, Spits and Suds listeners. Like I said, you know, big April, we're into May now, and we just keep chugging along. And you guys propel us to produce these episodes. So truly appreciate it. Massive stick tap to you, the Stars fan. At one point, you know, it was almost, I basically called your bluff to start this podcast and said, well, if Stars fans, I'll just start a podcast. And you know what? We'll prove that you guys just, you know, there's only a few of you out there. And I was wrong. So I'm damn proud to be wrong in this case. And I'm damn proud to be a part of this show.
I do want to say, can I say something on this too, Gavin? Like I
your
have
podcast,
been,
buddy.
one of my favorite stories, tones, themes, whatever you want to call it, right, of this podcast, the success of this podcast, like, you know way more about the ins and outs of the economics of it and how it works, but I get the monthly report, like, yep. I got today, where this is the top hockey podcast in the Odyssey Network. That's great. The fact that I know that I've had people, when I started my own site at the Substack, Shapshots, people asked, well, are you going to do Stars stuff? Are you going to do Stars stuff? And I've always said, like, well, I would love to, and we'll see how people respond to it. To me, I know and see the evidence that of what Stars fans bring, and there's an audience for it. And while there are other places that have cut back and there are other places that have pulled away, I'm glad we're able to do something for that fan base and that audience. And I just hope, I'm a believer in rising tides lift all ships. So I'm hoping that the fact that we can have a success at this, I hope the Stars having some success on the ice pushes others to do a bit more, because it's, yeah. I saw a tweet from, Zach, one of the Zachs. There's many Stars Zachs, but how one of his favorite things about the Stars winning game four was that he could consume content the next day, because he's the fan who, like, when his team wins, he only wants to, like, when his team wins, you want to soak it all in, right? But when you lose, you just kind of want to go into the bunker and ignore it at all. And so I kind of hope we keep doing more of this and everything, and we will, for kind of the Zachs of the world. So we have that when they win, we got something like this. We've been rocking for an hour here, and I should probably,
right.
And when they lose, if you need a little bit of podcast therapy, I guess we could do that as well. So,
well, I mean, you listen, you certainly threw the softball up for my plug back to you, because, and this is not like a plug central, it seems like that, but you came out with an article on Chap Shots today about, because you talk about growth. And the 24/7 audio network of the Anaheim Ducks has been a boom creatively, financially. And I read through the whole thing, and it's players sitting down, coaches sitting down, and it's fun and it's engaging. And that's Anaheim saying, hey, we're going to bring it in house. And NHL teams are taking notice. And I'll say, from my work at Live 105.3 The Fan, one of the things that's so cool is seeing the behind the scenes of DallasCowboys.com. And people can say what they want about the Jones family, but the Jones are very hands-off, and they treat DallasCowboys.com as its own entity, and it does extremely well. And the reporters are able to say what they want to say. Derek Eagleton leads the charge. He's terrific. And it, to me, it's, when done right, what a great opportunity. And I was just thinking about this, because we can all readily admit the Anaheim Ducks are not the most popular team in the NHL.
And they're not good.
They're not good. But they're doing some really cool stuff video-wise and audio-wise, including the games. And they're doing some cool shows. And I think it's great for hockey that, you know, it's all about content creation. And that's, at the end of the day, why we created this program, why we do what we do. You have found a niche where you have Chap Shots, D Magazine, all your things that you do, and you're constantly now aggregating content. That's terrific. So it, I just thought it was really cool, and I read through the article. So stick tap to you on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's been all right. Let's go to bed.
Let's do it.
All right, folks. We'll talk to you tomorrow on another edition of Spits and Suds. Crack open some Frosties, because it's still early enough. You can still get some sleep. Go to work in the morning. Once again, Stars win. So up, and Vegas on the brink of elimination. And we will talk to you again tomorrow, and then on Friday after the game. For Sean, I'm Gavin. Have a great day, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.